I think having a very curious mindset and always have this, you know, spirit of taking the learning and integrating in your decision and roadmap are very key.
Eventually, you learn to trust your gut feeling and be like, okay, this is, I know what I need to do, right? So, and this is, let's do it now, because there's no point to overthink it.
Hello and welcome to the Track Record podcast. Each episode, we speak to leading performers in sport and business. And this time, we're speaking to two outstanding performers who are also founders. I'm so excited to be able to launch into this conversation. And first question is, was it the industry that inspired you to become a founder, or was it the fact that you wanted to be a founder and you found your industry? And Sandrine, I'm going to throw it straight to you. Love to hear your insight on that.
Yes, thanks, David. I never wanted or planned to be a founder, really. I think the problem came to me. I mean, when the last time you moved home, do you remember how painful it was to find some furniture? That you know, like some old on me. It's 10 years ago, I moved from a flat in Shoreditch to a Victorian house in Highbury, and the furniture just didn't fit. And I had this massive empty space to fill, went from shop to shop. Any designer, shop, you had to wait for 12, 16 weeks before a sofa could be even made. And so I was, I decided to look more into a vintage and antique. And that's how I came across, a world of vintage and had the idea to build a marketplace to bring this great inventory together, to help people like me not to spend 3 months to find a single chair, which, what happened to me.
Amazing. That's so fascinating. And I think you're speaking to every single person listening to this who've gone through that pain. And for you, Monica, were you drawn to the industry or was it a similar thing that you found a problem that you needed solving?
I think it was similar probably with Sandrine. So I've seen the issues among a lot of people around, with mental health, but not mental illness, but a lot of concerns, right? So if you have a friend who is bipolar or has ADHD or is very depressed, you don't know what to do. And I've seen a lot of that situations. And then I'm very into mindfulness. So I'm trained in meditation, teaching, mindfulness, and all those things together are coming as okay, why wouldn't we have a space where you can talk to therapists without hassle and commitment of long-term therapy? That's why we first created an app where we said, okay, you can just drop in and on demand talk to someone. And now we switched everything to support for founders. So we went a step further, again, from seeing the need and feeling the need, to serving the group of people who I respect a lot, who are high performance and who need specific kind of approach in therapy, the way that sports high performance do as well.
So many people will resonate with coming up against some kind of friction or problem and going, oh, wouldn't it be great if there was a solution to this? Not many people do what you have done, both of you, and gone, I'm going to take it on and create a business around that. So I'm really interested to know, what either gave you the confidence or the courage to move away. I'm imagining you both had other, I know that Sandrine, in your instance, you had another job, I'm sure you did, Monica, to kind of go away from the safety net and go, this is worth it. I really want to follow this and I'm going to back myself to do it. And Sandrine, if I ask you that first, what was it that allowed you to make that step?
I felt like I came to the end of a cycle with my job in finance. I had been working finance for 8 years. On both the buy side and the sell side. And I just couldn't see myself, spending the rest of my life making rich people richer. So, I think I wanted out. And then when I had the idea, I talked to some friends, some people who buy furniture for a living, interior designer, and realized that the problem I face, which is, spending way too much time trying to find good quality, affordable second furniture, was something that other people were facing as well. So felt like it was a problem worth solving. And, I talked to some friends, including a friend working in VC, about this idea and say, you know, but I'm not a technical person, so I don't know how I could build a product to solve this issue, and say, you know, why don't you learn to code? you're a bit of a nerd, you should learn to code, and maybe you can decide if you like the industry and something you can do, and you could meet a tech founder. So that's what I did. And, you know, I think I can be quite quick at making decisions. So I said, okay, I want to find out. So gave my notice, enroll into a coding bootcamp, and say, okay, let's see, I'm going to figure it out. And if it's not the initial idea, I will still find something worth pursuing and went with it.
Amazing. Love it. How about you, Monica? Was there anything you had to overcome to make the step?
I think for me, I was 8 years in advertising agencies back in Poland. And then I was 9 years of startups. And I actually worked with startup founders, of successful unicorn level founders. And I think I never thought of being an entrepreneur, but it was easier the moment when I had this idea, it was easier to say like, okay, I've seen people doing it. So I kind of followed the pattern, but yeah, I didn't learn to code. I wasn't that brave, but I started to figure it out. And it was easier because it was COVID when I first started it. So a lot of people had a lot of time, and we just built the first version of the app, which was not like a commercial platform at that point. And then we shut it down and we reopened it a year ago. And that's when it was like maybe a bit more aware decision of like, okay, I go all in. I'm going to make a business out of the platform.
Nice. Exciting. And knowing many founders, the journey is not what you expect it necessarily to be. So really interested to hear if you kind of take yourself back to that starting point and what you thought you might be kind of embarking on compared to what you've actually experienced. What have been the surprises or the challenges, the biggest ones that you can kind of think of that maybe you weren't expecting?
I don't know, because when I started Vinteria, I didn't have a grand plan or thinking, oh, we're going to become, you know, a unicorn. And I was more into like, okay, as long as it's exciting and I can learn something from it, I want to pursue it and figure out on the way. So I think I always anticipated that it would be hard and that it wouldn't be an overnight success. So, you know, regarding that, I think that definitely prepared me for what was to come. I think the main surprise and kind of challenge on the way is how, you know, a good or poor personal decision can impact a company, even, you know, longer after the person has left. I think that's really the main thing. I think, you know, hiring really good quality people, that's key. And I think addressing higher quality or fit issue fast as well, because it can have like, you know, consequences 3 years down the line. But that's the main thing, I would say, is the most difficult part of the journey.
I think we, like what you're saying, Sandrine, about the teams and building teams, I think that's like something which we cannot really prepare for, because even if we managed people before, at least that was my case, it's really hard to say like, okay, the moment when I am the only person responsible and the last decision maker completely changes the game, right? And you want to hire people fast because they're sort of work. And then when you start to see like a red flags, you're like, yeah, but we need it, right? Like, so I don't have time now to change things. But yeah, so that was like one thing, even though in the first startup where I worked, we were actually going through downsizing the team. So I had to let go of my whole team, which was hard at that time. It's the first time manager, like letting go people. And it was like a bigger company-wide operation. But in the company now, like it's just completely different dynamics when I need to take these kind of decisions. But we do have a great team now, so that's good. And I think like from things which were surprising, it's maybe this moment when things are going well and you are like, okay, you need to push further and like push out of your comfort zone, being rather than being like, okay, we are good. It's like, no, this is not good. Like there's a very long way ahead and we can go much, much further. So I think those moments, maybe it's not that I wasn't prepared, but it's like, I was like, oh, I didn't know I would function this way. And I need somebody to actually push me through it sometimes, even though I have a lot of energy to spot this myself.
If you were to jump in a kind of time machine and be able to have a conversation with yourself when you first started out, what's the kind of the nuggets? What's the things that you would love to tell your previous self as a way of either shortcutting or avoiding or, whatever, what's the advice you would give your younger self?
Okay, easy. So I think three things. First thing, whenever you raise money, put a hiring freeze for 9 months. Don't hire anyone. Second thing, if you have doubts, maybe one red flag. I mean, if there are two issues with someone, just let them go. I think don't waste time on that. And the third one, focus, focus, focus. I think don't try to expand too fast in terms of target audience, product range, extra. Like making sure that the core proposition of the business is perfect, you know, or excellent, before trying to add new lines. Because yeah, that's very dangerous.
Yeah, I agree with focus. Yes, it's something which people tell you a lot from the outside, and they're like, no, you should focus on one. But then you see all those opportunities and you're like, okay, I want to try this. I want to try that. And those opportunities very often come to you because people see what you do and they're like, oh, why don't we do this? And I think like saying no in the right moment or saying yes, but later, that's important. So it's like basically down to focus. But I would say the first thought I had when you asked the question is like really move faster. It's like literally every single decision, everything you do is like, you can probably accelerate and just like eventually you learn to trust your gut feeling and be like, okay, this is, I know what I need to do, right? So, and this is, let's do it now because there's no point to overthink it.
That's so interesting. It's exactly what I picked up from Sandrine's point about intuition. And we hear it a lot as people get more confident. They reflect back and think, I wish I'd listened to myself more because actually I was right. And you kind of have a lot of stakeholders and advisors and, you know, all with good intent, but particularly as you go through the funding rounds, you know, that expands and the pressure is greater. And so I'd love to kind of explore that a bit in terms of, have you got to the place where you really can tap into that sense of gut sense or intuition and go with it? Or do you still feel like you get caught up or doubt yourself? And I guess be interested to hear if you have, how you've kind of broken through some of that.
Yeah, so I feel like I finally came out and like, you know, like now I have decided that I need to follow my guts. Because if I'm looking back at some like, you know, decision I've regretted or wish I've done sooner, I think the reason I didn't go ahead with the decision was because I thought that maybe a board member, an investor, you know, knew better. So, you know, I think now I feel I found a balance between, you know, just taking whatever an investor or board member say for, okay, that's absolutely truth, or dismissing it, which is, you know, which we shouldn't do either because they have experience and they have their own perspective. But, you know, like examining as like just a data points, which are not necessarily need to be more important than other data points and make the decision. But ultimately, I think trusting my guts would have saved me a lot of time and money. And that's something also we have been discussing with our exec team, that we should follow more our guts. Mm.
And again, on reflection, before Monica, you give your kind of thoughts on it. What would you, are you able to identify what stopped you? Is it a sense of, I may not have the answers? Is it a lack of confidence? Is it like a imposter syndrome? You know, what, if, I'm sure it's a multitude of things, but if you were, for you, Sandrine, what would you identify as the thing that stopped you doing that in the past?
Yeah, maybe just thinking, okay, those are experienced people. They have all those contacts, those knowledge. Maybe they know something that I don't know. And if they say those things, maybe there is a reason for that. And maybe, you know, being a bit of a people pleaser, you know, despite me, and wanted harmony, I think, which now on reflection is not the most important.
Yeah. So interesting. It's such a common thing that we hear from founders in terms of that balance between a happy team, you know, a kind of challenge, but happy team versus actually what you know you need to do. And it can often feel like a friction.
Sometimes I think just this over-focus on the short-term pain that maybe blinds you from the long-term gain where you know you have to do it, but there is so much to do in the next days and weeks that you postpone the issue and it just snowballs. Whereas when we had to make that drastic changes, I realized that the short-term pain has been actually not that bad.
It's interesting what you're saying with the harmony, because actually my conclusions on the gut feeling and following your intuition are it's almost like the opposite. It's like, I don't think it's a finished process. So it's always, as the company grows, there will always be things that are outside of our comfort zone, because that's the whole idea, right? Like, founders are like quite specific group of people who are constantly pushing themselves out. And it's almost like what gives this harmony, right? So pleasing everyone, like, it will not be the case, because you will never make everyone love you. You will never make everyone be in alignment with your decisions. And then as the company grows, and I've seen this when I was working in the companies, it's like, it's hard to reflect on this when you're a founder, but then when you zoom out, you're like, yeah, of course there were people who hated decisions. There were people who disagreed, but the whole thing was still working, right? So in the end, and that's also something which, when we talk to the therapists, is like about like, what do they discuss with founders? Is like, well, those are the things that belong in coaching or in therapy rooms. Is like, how do you make yourself comfortable with lack of harmony? But the harmony is like defined in a completely different way in like large successful business. So if you have like a 1,000 people company, well, there will be people who hate us, right? But we have to be fine with it. And also, like, if you remove all those people, you suddenly have like everyone like always saying yes and being happy. Well, that's probably also not how we are going to push through and like make something innovative, right? So I think it's like a interesting balance of being comfortable with things which are not the way you would like to describe them, maybe in your private life, in like relationships, in family. But the company is much more like a sports team, right? It's like you have to push, compete, and like have a little bit of friction to actually make it work.
Sandrine, as you look up the road ahead of you, knowing the journey that you've been on and the predicted journey ahead, which I'm sure is much smoother than the journey that you've been on, or at least the hoped journey ahead, what do you think is going to stretch you, challenge you? Like, what's the skills you're going to have to improve or develop over the next, you know, let's say 3 to 5 years, or 4 years in our case, in terms of an Olympic cycle? What would you imagine is going to push you and stretch you?
So I think, you know, in the past 8 years, I have really had to work on the evolution from a founder to CEO. So, you know, transitioning from doing things myself, making the decision, everything being in my head, to building the team, delegating not only the what, but also the how and sometimes the why to team member, especially when you hire a senior executive member, and work more on the company. So, you know, working a lot on communication, clarity of that direction, so that people know where we are going. I say in the next 3 to 5 years, I will probably need to develop skills around continuing to scale the organization on an international scale. So, because obviously our ambition is to become the European leader in our industry. So that obviously will require some more work in maintaining company culture while acknowledging differences in culture across team members. Probably you have some skills related to transactions, because when the company will be over 10 years, obviously there will be some opportunity in that regard. But otherwise, I think it's really about maintaining what we have learned so far, which at the end of the day is not that complicated. I think, you know, first taking care of myself, having good sleep, good nutrition, you know, good exercise routine so that I can deal with my own stress and emotions, and you know, keep very clear and be decisive with the team. And then obviously, like, yeah, always repeat the why and the objective to the team so that I know they're going, and let them do their job.
What about you, Monica? What do you think is going to stretch and challenge you over the next period?
I think it's probably similar. It's different to manage small team when you still are in touch with every person. And it's different to manage the team of senior executives who very often have more experience than you, right? And as much as I might have done, like, that is part of it in the past, like under like another like company, other leaders, like in other companies, I think it's going to be different when it's going to be in our company. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to learn a lot around this. I don't yet know which things will be the bumps, right? Because that often comes as a surprise, right? You think like, okay, I've got this covered, but that will be a problem. But maybe because you are so aware of the problem, you're like, actually, this is going to be fine, but here's your blind spot. and just making sure you are open for feedback and have somebody around like who can be like really understand the context and be like really honest with you and being like, this is wrong, this is right, try it this way, right? I think that will be probably one thing. I think like there'll be something in our case around big mission that we want to do and really get the VCs on board and the investors on board to invest in proactive mental health support for founders. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to learn a lot about what does it mean for them, because I know everyone has an intention to do it, but then there'll be like a commercial aspect of it and there'll be distribution aspect of it. So it's like, that's going to be a big learning curve globally more than anything.
And both of you sort of at different points mentioned two things. One, the kind of ability to really focus and move quickly and kind of keep going on that sense of just the pace. And we see that a lot where pace becomes often the cause of friction between CEO, founders, and the rest of the team, where it's like, it's just not fast enough compared to what you have in your mind and what you're wanting. And then that kind of challenge around talent and picking the right people and people understanding the pace, the kind of startup mentality, even if you're no longer classed as a startup, it often gets held onto. Just keen to hear from each of you, like, what's your perspective on hiring? What do you look for in terms of attributes? You know, who would you want as part of your team now, having had the learnings that you've had in the past? And I guess thinking about like, what is it that you look for in people that you know they're going to be a good fit? Sandrine, if I throw that to you first, after your comment of that's been your biggest learning.
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, we have a set of company value that we have iterated over time, and those are very clear and we refine them, you know, weekly internally. And we have some screening question for each of those values. So obviously, strong value fit is very important. I think the second point is startup fit, right? So, you know, understanding that someone can launch fast, you know, it can be on a steep curve, is adaptable and resilient. I mean, that also comes through our company value, but that's very important. And obviously red flag or anti-patterns would be people who are stuck in their way, who would just, you know, take what they know and apply it exactly, which wouldn't work. Or people who have too much ego. I would say that's really what we try to avoid, because as a startup, obviously nothing established. And you pretty much need to like be in constant learning and iteration mode. So I think having a very curious mindset and always have this, you know, spirit of taking the learning and integrating in your decision and roadmap are very key. So yeah, so I think, you know, maybe avoid the big logos.
Yeah.
How about yourself, Monica?
I think in our case, it's for sure is flawless ethics, work ethics, and I think it's the most important in our case, because this is like the DNA of the current team. It's like, I have no doubt whatsoever about the ethics of those people. And then we are dealing with mental health. So of course there are in context of like a very sensitive conversation sometimes, like not about like specific people, but concepts, right? And we do have people like messaging us like, hey, you basically saved our life. Like saved my life, right? Like we had a few messages like this over last year, and it can be quite powerful, but also you need to make sure it's handled well. So that's ethics is like one non-negotiable. And if I ever have a doubt, like we always say, no, sorry, whatever is the consequence of that. So that's one thing. The other thing is like open-minded. And I think it comes with creativity, intelligence, and like a mix of different things. That I think that's what Sandrine, you are saying, the startup like spirit, right? It's like, really like nothing is set and people need to understand that we are building the plan as we are flying, basically like typical startup comparison. And the no ego, 100%, I would agree with that. Again, like it needs to be a very good team fit, right? And it needs to be a very good, like it's no ego is like also comes with self-awareness, right? So if somebody is self-aware and knows where to stop, where to push, that's going to work. And something which I really like in people is self-starters. So it's very often that we do things that, like everyone understands the mission and they come up with the ideas and like what where we should go. And I think those things definitely are the most important. And then, of course, something which is, I think founders don't often talk about this and we take it for granted, but it's like being like really extremely good at your job. and like your expertise, whatever you decide to be an expert in, or you claim you are an expert in, right? Because people will wear many hats, and then it's like, okay, somebody can say, look, I'm not very good at it, but I'm going to do it. Or somebody can say, yes, I know how to do it. I need to trust this person that they actually really are on top of yourself.
And if you were to kind of apply that kind of curiosity and open-mindedness to yourself and think, like, if we were speaking in 3 years and you were able to say, oh, I've really added this attribute or this element to myself that when we first spoke, you wouldn't have seen, what would you love to be able to say in 3 years that you are able to demonstrate consistently that maybe you couldn't today?
I think there will be something around focus. I think like I'm really learning this, like saying no to things, like especially when opportunities come our way. And I think I'm in 3 years, I hope I will be able to tell you, okay, I mastered it. I know exactly how to do it and I don't get it wrong, but let's see.
How about you, Sandrine?
I think I make this decision quite fast, but I also came to some judgment quite fast, and I'm trying to work on slowing down actually and asking more open questions to get to the bottom of something before, you know, making my judgment. And we have a VP of engineering who is excellent at asking open questions, so I'm just trying to copy him. Or actually ask him to remind me when I'm jumping too fast to conclusion. And he's asking questions to help me get to the bottom of some issues. But yeah, so I think I would want to be able to do that a bit more naturally.
It feels like it's been a masterclass that we've been kind of sitting on from two founders that are clearly incredibly motivated and excited about the journey that they found themselves in, solving problems that not only they found themselves having, but also hundreds and, you know, probably thousands and maybe even millions of other people also experience. Just before we sign off, I'd love to hear from both of you in terms of, like, as a result of having this conversation, what have you either kind of re-remembered or realized or taken from it that as a result of having this conversation, you're going to be able to do something different or think differently about it? Monica, I'd love to hear from you. Like, what's been your takeaway?
I think one thing is like very inspiring, Sandrine, from you. It's like you've been running the business for much longer than we are running the company. So it's great to think like, okay, there's like 5, 6, 7 years ahead. The journey still has the same bumps and the same challenges. And certain things that are important stay important. So it's great to hear your perspective.
Sandrine?
Yeah, I think trusting my gut. And I think I have a meeting in 5 minutes. I will remind the team to trust that gut as well.
Nice. Well, it's been a total pleasure. And just from my reflection on it would be that point, which is the confidence to trust in your gut, which I don't think is an easy thing to do. And certainly from our experience of coaching many founders, comes with time often and some mistakes and failures and things you've had to kind of learn from. But it's amazing to hear that from both of you. And I think if people have a takeaway, it's just check in with yourself on that. How often do you do it? And how do you do it? And can you do it? Because I think the power of that is really significant. And I think when we've seen founders really lead that way authentically, it's amazing organizations that get formed around that. So thank you for sharing that one.
Yeah. And for me, it's exactly the same topic, but what I've heard loud and clear from the both of you, that there's stuff that you can do that's within your control that can increase the probability you'd be able to do that. So one, being self-aware and checking in with yourself in terms of why am I doing this? Sandrine, your comments around expectation, expect it to be hard and be willing to be able to kind of lean into that and not be surprised when things are difficult. And just looking after yourself. And I think, you know, the fact that Monica, you've created an entire business out of it is not a surprise. You know, being able to create the space, the time, so that you actually increase the likelihood that you're able to get through the noise and the question marks and the doubts, both internally and externally, and find out what is it that you're ultimately aiming to achieve and how can you use this business as a vehicle to be able to get there. I think it certainly inspired me, and we were just having a conversation about our business this morning. So this has absolutely been helpful for us as well. So thank you so much. And it's been a real privilege to be able to sit on it. And once again, thank you to those listening as well. and delighted that you've been able to join us on this journey. And once again, we've heard the inside line in terms of what it's taken somebody else to win, but not just win, win well, which has been really awesome to hear. So thank you both to our guests and to those listening.